Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
But it's an amazing time, in our church right now, in our lives right now. And I want to remind you that because God did promise us and continues to promise us. He's never leave us nor forsake us. And he proves that to me all the time. I know he proves that to you all the time as well. And in our lives, though, there's things that happen in our hearts. There's things that happen in our lives that affect our hearts. And some of them are good. And we're like, and then we try to live off of that and try to build momentum off of that and just, man, it's just difficult because the world's not our source and our experience isn't our source. And then there's other things that happen to all of us. There's things that are tormenting in our souls, and there's things that hurt, and there's things that are painful in our lives. And how do we deal with that? You know, because we've all gone through broken bones and miscarriages and untimely deaths and other things that have happened that have kind of scorched the ground of our heart, and we got to kind of rebound from. We all have to do that. But let me just tell you, the Bible says this. See, all of that stuff's darkness, but the Bible says a couple of things that I want to kind of use as the preview of the message today. And the message is simply, we can be as strong as we want to be. As strong as you want to be is how strong you can be. Mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, as strong as you want to be, you can be that strong. Trust me. I mean, a lot of people do it that don't have the talent, skill, and ability that you have. But there's things that happen in our life, and I want to bring this to mind. The entrance of his word, okay? The entrance of his word. Just the entrance of his word brings light. Okay, and that light is the light of life. It's our power, is light. Okay, but the other one is that the bottom line with this is that everything, every entity in the universe, heaven and earth and under the earth, has to bow to the name of Jesus. So let me just tell you, you've got things, and let's welcome everybody at the pulpit. Sky took, by the way, I was remiss. I'm sorry. Welcome to our service today. And everybody else watching online, we appreciate you and thank you for being a part of what God's doing here. But when we look at this and we know the entrance of his word brings light, but then let me go a step farther, that at the name of Jesus. So when the word comes into our hearts and comes into that hurt and that pain and that anguish and that torment that has happened in our lives, when the word comes in, all of that stuff has to bow to the name of Jesus. It's subject to the name of Jesus in our lives. See, and there's people that are going through so much and dealing with so many things. And, you know, I know that abortion and the woman's right to choose has become such a political issue, and the church really doesn't know what to do with it. And I was watching on television just recently, and there was a celebrity that just said, man, I'm passionate, I'm vehement about a woman having the right to choose. And it was such an impassioned plea, and it really touched my heart. And I'm looking at him thinking, oh my gosh, it's like, okay, can we hit this from a different angle? And then all of a sudden, she said, and I've had 6 abortions, and she just kept talking, and I'm telling you, it broke my heart. It really did. Because I thought about this. I thought, how does somebody that really doesn't know the Lord, and I'm not judging this celebrity whether she does or doesn't, okay? But if she doesn't know the Lord and doesn't have a relationship with God and doesn't have the entrance of God's word that has illuminated her heart, how do you deal with that? And I'm telling you, it just broke my heart, and my heart's been so heavy for this person. Pray for her a lot. Sandy and I met her in New York City years and years ago in a deli, and she thought I was somebody else, and she came up and said, man, how you doing? I said, man, I'm doing good. Well, what have you been up to? I said, well, I'm just growing a church. And she realized that I wasn't who she thought I was, and she was like, okay, it's awkward now. And I'm really good in awkward situations, but it broke my heart. And this is why the news that we have to deliver has to be relevant. It can't just be trendy. It's not going to be that popular. Man, the more popular we get preaching the word, we've got to understand that that so much of Jesus' life that he was shunned and ridiculed and turned away and really honestly misidentified. See, and we have to look at our lives and we have to think about the power that we have in us, who we are in Christ, that we are thoroughly equipped. Listen, no matter how long you've been a Christian, man, if you during the music said, I think this Jesus stuff's real, Jesus, I make you Lord of my life, you're in the same boat now. You know, at some point in this channel that we're traveling, you know, we all get on the boat, and no matter where we got on it, at this point, we're all in the same boat. And we're thoroughly equipped. What the Bible says, the promise God gives us, is we're thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, so if I'm the devil, what I'm going to try to do is deceive you and connive and lie to you and even threaten you and accuse you where you're not equipped. So we spend so much of our life as Christians thinking it's stuck in the rut that we're not equipped, yet the Bible says we're equipped for every good work. It's not by might nor by power. The race isn't for the swift and the battle isn't for the strong. It's by his Spirit. And what God's doing is he's continually, the promise of God is that he'll pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. That means all of us. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. See, we've got to look at this. We're going to think, wait a second. Man, God's at work, no matter if young and old, young or old, whoever you are, man or woman. See, none of that stuff factors in. All that matters is the truth. And if we live in the truth, it sets us free. Not just knowing about it, not just hearing about it, not just bumping into it in the mall once in a while, but we truly live the truth. See, that's the key to life. Man, if we could grasp that, man, we could overcome the things that are terrorizing our souls. Man, the opportunity you have right now to break the power of depression on your life, anxiety on your life. Man, some of you guys are being haunted by past experiences or bad habits or things that you did wrong in the past, and maybe even people keep bringing it up. Let me tell you, he's not bringing it up as God. All God wants to do is deliver you from your past so that you can live the restoration life that he's given us. Not the life that we've had in our best days, the life that he promised us before Adam fell, where we allow, you know, the whole concept of us occupying till he comes. The way that happens is because God's promise occupies our hearts. It occupies our minds. You know, you're at the golf course, you hit a bad golf shot, and you say the S word, and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know where that came from. I don't talk that way. Please forgive my French. I love blaming the French for that. But I digress. But it's like, no, that was in there. See, that's why his word in you is so powerful, that we meditate on it day and night. We keep it in front of our face all the time. We don't let our eyes depart from it. You know why? Everything else is going to cause us to veer and stray and drift. Man, we can't drift from God's purpose. Man, I have 3 children. I have 4 grandchildren. And what we pray, Sandy and I pray consistently all of their lives, what we pray is that they'd marry the right person and fulfill God's purpose. Everything else is just details. Drive what you want to drive. Smoke them if you got them. Man, buy the house you want. Have the occupation, but honor God in everything in your life. See, and the key for us to do that is that we have to go to God's promise. And if we go to Ephesians 3:16, and it's interesting, if you're one of those numerology people, like my brother is, man, you're thinking about how all the 3:16 scriptures all align themselves. But in Ephesians 3, verse 16, that God would grant to you. There's no strings attached. If you got a Bible, write that in the margin or above that word in your Bible. There's no strings attached. You don't deserve it. You don't have to earn it. That God may grant to you according, not to your life, not to your commitment, but according to his riches in glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. See, now listen, you can be strong as you want to be, But God's granting you the ability to choose. You can choose how strong you want to be. How strong you want to be. How strong you want to be mentally, physically, emotionally. How many of you guys want to be emotionally strong? Man, how many of you guys get up and go, man, you know what? Just another day where I'm going to be a basket case. No. You could be as strong as you want to be. God's strengthening you with his might in your inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And it's trust. And see, I'm a fighter by nature. Okay? It's interesting because I just think, okay, just keep your mouth shut here. You don't have to have an opinion. You don't have to right every wrong. You don't have to, because to me, I'm wanting to jump out in the middle of it. Sandy and I moved to St. Louis, and like we were there for a week, and we stopped at this convenience store, and in the middle of the convenience store, there were three or four guys tussling. They grabbed each other, and we're the only white people in the whole area. And I'm jumping out of my truck, and Sandy grabbed me and said, what are you doing? I'm thinking, I don't know. I didn't even think. I'm just getting out of my truck. I'm going to get in the middle of it. Okay, but the idea of this is we have to look at this, and we have to understand that there is that fighter on the inside of you. But listen, we fight the good fight of faith. And in order for us to fight the good fight of faith, what that fight is a stand that we take. That I'm taking a stand. That no matter how hard you come at me, no matter how difficult it is, I'm not moving off this stand. The Bible says that having done all to stand, everybody say all to stand. Stand therefore in the liberty where Christ has set you free. When I operate in the flesh, when I try to take care of it myself, I get out of that peaceful place. And let me tell you, peace is a synonym of prosperity here. I get out of God's provision. I get out of the resource that God's supplying where he's my source. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, that's the stand that we take right there. That Christ may dwell in your hearts, that we're rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Man, that we begin to comprehend the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge, that you be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly all that you could ask or think according to the power that works in you. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And see, we look at this and we allow it to come into our lives, because a couple chapters later, Paul writes and says, don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Being drunk with wine is just selfish. It's self-medicating. Man, but be filled with the Spirit. And it doesn't just stop there. It's not just a one-time experience where we're filled. It's like, oh, poof. Oh, look. No, you know what? It's being filled with the Spirit. It's a continual infilling of the Holy Spirit. See, what God's wanting to do in your life right now is fill you with his presence, to fill you with his Spirit. You know, when you come upon a situation, and when as a brand new Christian, and I'm around a bunch of Christians now, and everybody knew more than me, and people are talking like, well, you know, here, God told me, because it's kind of pre-life preachers, you know, guys preparing for preaching, and so, you know, in order to be a preacher back then, 40 years ago, you had to say things like, hey, God just told me, or God just showed me, or God just spoke to me, or I just heard God. And it's all this stuff that it kind of gets weird and funky, because what it does, it cancels out any of the discussion. It just sabotages most of the conversation. But you look at it, I'm not saying God doesn't speak to us, and I'm not saying God doesn't reveal himself to us, but when we talk about it all the time, we're not letting our yes be yes and our no be no, and that's what Paul said to do. Matter of fact, it's forswearing. It's as bad as using the Lord's name in vain. When you're constantly saying, well, God told me, because it's like, wait a second. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Let your life back up that God's speaking to you. Let your words be that powerful. Anyway, that's just a little pet peeve of mine. I got that off my chest, and I go back to you. I've taken care of me now. But I'm listening to all this, and I was in this situation where all hell was breaking loose. And I'm like, what the heck do I do? You know that time in your life, and I love those times when I became a Christian, when I got married, when we had kids, when we started the church. Everything we did, it's like, this is the first time we ever did it. Like, and what God being the God of first things and the law of first things coming into play, that you doing something for the first time is powerful, yet the enemy can deceive you into not trying new things. Not taking that step of faith, not really stopping to pray about a situation when you've been through it a bunch of times, when it's like, well, maybe we should just pray about this. But all hell's breaking loose. And I remember just stopping in my tracks and thinking, okay, God, I can't find you, but I know you're here. Where are you? Well, and the Bible says, seek him and what'll happen? You'll find him. And I'm telling you, it became kind of the code to dealing with those kind of hard, difficult situations. Like, okay, God, where are you? Because I'm going to run to you. You're my high tower where I'm safe. See, I know it all. I know all of that now. I didn't then. All I knew is I've got to find God. See, and that's where we have to be now. We get in a situation, and the situation's awful. God, where are you? God, I need a word. God, I need a now word. God, I need a fresh word from you. And let me just tell you, man, God's going to give it to you. You have not because you don't ask. You don't have because you ask amiss. See, because what God wants to resource us with, it leaks in our life. You know, vision leaks. Our culture leaks, man. Our parenting, our kids will leak. Things in our life, marriage, the love in marriage will leak. Intimacy will leak. So we have to be restored day by day. Renewing our mind day by day. Because there's two things. It's almost like gasoline in our tank that God gives us. It'll leak if we just are sedentary with it, but also we'll consume it by helping others. And that's the design that God gives us. We're being filled with all his fullness and being filled with his spirit because God's expecting us to use it for other people. That's how we're fulfilled. That's who God intends to resource. People that are reaching out to other people. And money, yeah. Energy, yes. Time, yes. God will redeem the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Because we're in an evil world. But God's going to redeem even our time. Man, the way God does anything is the way God does everything. He's going to redeem everything in our lives. Man, we've got eras and we've got seasons and parts of our lives that it's like, oh, I wish that never would have happened. God's redeeming that on our behalf. See, we have to understand that there's a blind man. Jesus begins to teach and he's talking and all these people are mesmerized and they're saying, man, we've never heard anybody talk like this before. And all of a sudden, a guy gets wind of it and he's blind. He's like, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute, there's some kind of new authority that's operating here, and you know what? I got to have my say. Hey, have mercy on me. And they're like, hey, you got to be quiet. Son of David, have mercy on me. Hey, we're asking you to be quiet. Hey, son of David, have mercy on me. He goes, look, he's teaching. Man, you got to show some respect. And he's like, I'm telling you, I want what I could get here. And Jesus stopped. He said, no, let him come to me. So he makes his way up to Jesus, and Jesus said, what can I do for you? Well, you know, I've been having a problem with my hip. I'm just dealing with I've got a sinus infection. No, he said, that I might see. And in the original text, it's, even though he'd never seen before, the original text was that my sight would be restored. So what he's actually saying is, I've lost hope for ever seeing. But now, can you give me some hope to see? Jesus said, what can I do for you? Man, full of God, the fullness of God personified on the earth. And Jesus spit on the ground. He made mud and he packed it in the guy's eyes. He said, now go to the fountain and wash your eyes out. See, here's what's interesting. The guy comes to Jesus and he can't see because he's blind. The guy, now listen to this and try to catch it. The guy's leaving Jesus. He still can't see. But Jesus has flipped his mindset. Now he can't see because he's blind. He can't see because he's got mud in his eyes. So all he's got to do now is he's got to walk over to the fountain and wash his eyes out. All these people are looking at him thinking, this is cray-cray. This is Nutsville here. And he walks over to the fountain, he washes out his eyes that he could see, and the place went crazy. See, and you look at it, what's God doing in your life right now that you're subtly missing? Because you're looking for a fireworks display, or you're looking for this big charismatic experience, or you're looking for something. I hear people all the time say, man, the Jesus movement, we need another one of those. Oh, the charismatic movement, we need another one of those. Oh, this, we need it. No, I need what God has today. It's a new work that God's doing. It's something fresh by design. And what God needs to do is, just like blind Bartimaeus, is change our mindset. Restore my sight. See, we can be as strong as we want to be, as strong in God as we want to be. How strong do you want to be in God? How strong do you want to be emotionally? How strong do you want to be physically? How strong do you want to be mentally? You could be as strong, you could defy all the odds. Write that down. God's put us on this earth to defy all the odds. What are the limits? Man, you can't win a championship with that team. Really? Man, our beloved St. Louis Blues came into the new year the worst team in hockey. Now they're taking that cup all around to parties. They took it to a church in Canada. Man, they're taking the Stanley Cup everywhere. They won the Stanley Cup. And in January, the worst team. The baseball Cardinals are playing the Giants. And the manager, Bochy, for the Giants came up to the Cardinals manager and said, let me tell you, I want you to tell the Blues, the players, the coaches, when you see them, we're using them as an example. You can go from last to first, and you can win a championship even though you're in last. Let me tell you, no matter where you are, God's going to flip the scenario. You can be as strong in God as you want to be. As strong as you want to be. Because it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by His Spirit. Number one, you got to feed your mind the truth of God's word, the truth of God's promises. Write that down, take a picture of it, whatever you got to do. You have to feed your mind. It's got to be three meals a day. It's got to be in between meal snacks. You got to focus on it and not drift off of it. Man, too many people just drift just because their situation warrants it. No, you know what? It's time for us to be as bullheaded as we need to be and take a stand of faith. I'm taking a stand of faith for my marriage. I'm taking a stand of faith for my children, my grandchildren, my church. I'm taking a stand of faith for you. I'm taking a stand of faith for your finances. I'm taking a stand of faith for your health, for your marriage, for your peace of mind, for your future. I'm not coming off it. We have to sow God's word into our soul. It's got to get it deep into our soul. It's got to be more real to us than all the evidence of failure the world offers. And you might be here and say, man, I've been a failure all my life. Big dadgum deal. I'm not kidding you. Man, I saw two interns in here. In here earlier, D'Angelo and, Judah. Man, both of them, we sat in staff meetings thinking, I don't know. And I just met Judah. And everybody else was saying, man, let's have him wait 6 months and maybe do it. And, man, I said, let's just take a flyer and let's just give him a chance. Is that Judah over there? I don't know that I've ever been more proud of somebody in my life than I am Judah just in the last 6 months. I mean, that sucker's a man of God. I'm telling you, you can turn it around. Right, Judah? You a man of God? Can we trust you? You gonna serve God the rest of your life? There you go. You gonna fulfill God's purpose? You gonna marry the right person? Is that person in this room? I did that for Sandy. We have to sow God's word in our heart. We have to saturate our minds daily with God's promise. Daily. You got to get over yourself. You got to get over the stuff that's around you, your excuses. What God's word does eliminates our excuses. Saturate your mind daily. Number two, you got to guard your heart with all diligence. Don't let everything in. Who cares what, nobody think about what people are thinking, what people are saying. Whatever you subject to your mind is going to be what controls your life. Why not God's promise? Guard your heart. Only let God's promise in. I'll live and not die. I'll win and not lose. I'll succeed and not fail. I'll fulfill God's purpose. Man, the only way, let me ask you, am I fulfilling God's purpose in my life? The only way I can is that I proclaim that I am. And you know what? My life's going to follow the words that I speak. Discipline your thought life. Don't let your mind go to things. I'll tell you, I get to live, I have the privilege of living with Sandy, and let me tell you, she will not let things into her mind that don't honor God. Man, she's careful about what we talk about or what we watch or what we listen to for a period of time before we go to bed. You have to guard your heart with all diligence. Number three, what do other people need? What do people need? Man, if we're worried about what we need, we're not Christians. We're not. I say we. All my needs met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If God's my source, his responsibility is my resource. See, that's the tendencies of the world are going to influence us to keep our minds on ourselves. How many likes, how many followers, how many posts? And you know what's interesting in social media? What I've heard is the content is king. You have to post all the time. But the Bible says, where there are many words, transgressions surely follow. Man, guard your heart. Be careful. Man, just take care of the little things. The basic things. Man, the basic things in our life. Absolutely, all of our need is met according to his riches and glory. It's not met because of my job. It's not met because of my marriage. Sandy's, that's not her responsibility. It's met because God's promised it. See, we have to take on this whole notion that God's promise is greater than everything. Everything. See, and once that happens in our lives, man, I'm telling you, you can be as strong as you want to be. For real, I just want to drive this point. How strong do you want to be? And then, you know what? Once it happens, there's a few in the twinkling of an eye moments that ramp us up. Curses are broken off of our lives. Suppressions are removed from our lives where we can begin to elevate. See, when these three things, when we saturate our minds in God's word, when we discipline ourselves, when we guard our hearts, when we're looking out for others, guess what? The blessings of God begin to flow in our life, and the life of more than enough takes over. See, God's the God of more than enough. Do you agree with that? He's given us the land of more than enough to live in. Do you agree with that? That means we need to be the people of more than enough. Just getting by and hand to mouth and month to month is not God's will for our lives. That's poverty. God's will for our lives, no matter what, is more than enough. More than enough. Our God supplies more than enough. More than I can see, more than ears can hear, more than we can even think or imagine. It's more than enough. Exceedingly abundantly above. You with me on that? You could be as strong as you want to be.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.